Heyo, Flying Brian here, gonna do another rock review, this time with the help of my brand new heavy metal goblet. The one I'm gonna be talking about today is the brand new album from a legendary British rock band known as Iron Maiden. This is their first studio album in 5 years, and is their 16th studio album in 35 years since they dropped their self-titled album way back in 1980. The album I'm going to be talking about today is The Book of Souls. It is a 92-minute long, 11-track, 2-disc record that was released on September the 4th, 2015, led by Speed of Light, was a single that was released on August the 14th of the same year, 2015, under the label Parlophone Sanctuary, copyrights BMG US. The men who are responsible for creating this piece of musical art are Bruce Dickinson, lead vocals and piano on the last track on the record, Dave Murray, guitar, Adrian Smith, guitar, Janet Gers, guitar, Steve Harris, bass, keyboards, and co-produced, and Nico McBrain on the drums. There was a lot of other technical personnel that did producing, mixing, engineering, keyboards, orchestration, mastering, art direction, design, cover illustration, disc illustration, and so on. A lot of people worked on this album. A lot went into this album. We're going to find out if this legendary rock band still has what it takes to rock. Before I get into talking about each track individually and grading the whole album from A to F and 1 to 100, ranking it among the rest of Iron Maiden's discography, and telling you if I think that you need to buy this album, I'm going to tell you a little bit of my history with Iron Maiden. Well, most of their albums came out before I was alive or before I was that into metal, so I have not spent that much time with Iron Maiden's entire albums, right? Like, I know some of their hits. I love Run to the Hills. I love Number of the Beast. I love Fear of the Dark. But as far as listening to the deeper tracks and entire albums, I'm not that familiar with them. So just keep that in mind when we talk about each track individually right here on The Book of Souls. The first track on the record is If Eternity Should Fail. It was written by Bruce Dickinson and comes in at just about 8.5 minutes. This song starts the album off with an atmospheric or ambient sound with a brass instrument and some ambient synthesizer work. At about 1:30, a guitar brings us into a rhythmic opening with a bunch of sounds happening and enough cowbell to make Christopher Walken and Will Ferrell happy. Bruce said in an interview with Loudwire that this song is one of very few, if not the only one, of Iron Maiden's songs that is in drop D. The chorus happens, and then at the 5-minute mark, the song changes almost completely, starting off with a powerful bass line, leading into about a minute of amazing instrumental work by these legendary rockers. There was far too much to talk about in this song that I'm not going to cover everything that happens in the song. Just know that you need to check it out. The song finishes with some real creepy speaking that gave me a chill, but I loved it. The Speed of Light, track number 2, was, like I said, the single that was released before the rest of the album came out as a way to get us hyped, like all singles that are released before the album comes out are meant to do. Again, a bunch of cowbell. This is one of the shortest songs on the album and has the most shallow or least bit of lyrics. It is 5 minutes and 1 second long, but the song really shows the power and driving nature that a lot of you might know and probably love from Iron Maiden. If you listen to the song with headphones, the guitar solo will start in your left ear, this is my left ear, and move to the right, which is, it's a small thing, but to me that adds a lot of enjoyment. Track number 3, The Great Unknown. When I think of opening bass lines, I think of Tool and Schism. The bass line in this song isn't like that, but it certainly is memorable. The percussion in the beginning is calm underneath of Dickinson's also calm yet distinct vocal. Steadily, the song builds for the first minute and a half. There are also two solos, guitar solos in the song, each vastly different from the other. The second kind of abruptly ends, and the sound from the beginning returns and takes us to the finish of the song. Track number 4, The Red and the Black, the second longest track on this entire record at a whopping 13 and a half minutes. There is an abundance of varying sounds in this song. Like most of the songs on this record, it starts out relaxed, and after about 30 seconds, the driving sound hits us once again. There are a lot of moments when I feel like they are aiming at engaging live audiences with this jam. Like most Maiden songs, this track tells an interesting story, one that you'll have to check out for yourself, but as you could probably guess, a track this long has a lot of time for some epic instrumentals. In fact, the majority of this track is instrumental, and it is outstanding. Track number 5, When the River Runs Deep, the last track on disc 1, starts out fast with a high-pitched sounding guitar, lots of cymbals, and Mr. Dickinson's distinct vocals. After about a minute, everything becomes more intricate, and at times, the song slows down and then speeds back up. This is a theme throughout this entire record, but there are a lot of different amplifier sounds happening on this track. The chorus repeats a bunch, but there's so much happening in the song that you're not going to really notice the repetitiveness of the lyrics towards the end of the song. Track number 6, or track number 1 on disc 2, but I'm going to be referring to this track as number 6, and then 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Get the point. Book of Souls, the title track from this record. An acoustic, chilled out guitar brings us in to this song. And this song comes in at about 10 and a half minutes. It was written by Janet Gers and Steve Harris. The beginning is ambient, then for a bit seems to be a little bit groovy. And I love that groove. Of course, the lyrics are on point. Here's a small taste. Death of the Dark Lords, the ultimate proof. In the place where ancestors rule, the Book of Souls. At 5.5 minutes, the song slows down and then wham! The breakdown happens and the rest is mostly instrumental. The acoustic chilled out guitar returns towards the end and fades us out of the Book of Souls and right into Death or Glory. Track number 7 is Death or Glory. The song starts right out of the gate with some powerful, crunchy metal. The lyrics again are fun. Here's an example. Turn like the devil, shoot straight from the sun. Climb like a monkey out of hell where I belong. I just think those lyrics are fun. This entire album showcases the instrumental talents of these legends. This track, no different. And also, this track really exemplifies, highlights the fact that I feel like if you listen to this album, you can tell that Iron Maiden had a lot of fun in the studio when they were making this album. Track number 8, Shadows of the Valley. The beginning sound sounds like something off of a murder mystery television show, except for more metal. The deep thumping drums is a highlight early on before Nico McBrain brings back that cowbell. My favorite lyrics on this record might be on this song. Like the rest of the album's lyrics, they fit right into the title of the album, The Book of Souls. If I haven't mentioned this already, the instrumentals in this song and the rest of the album almost seem orchestral. They're booming. They're intricate. They're fantastic. Tears of a Clown, the shortest track on the record at 4 minutes and 59 seconds. It was written by Adrian Smith and Steve Harris. Deep, crunchy guitar brings us in to the beginning that reminds me of Holy Diva by Dio. The screeching guitar solo at the end is the highlight of the song for me. These guys, these legends, packed more rock into this 5-minute song than most modern day rock bands put into entire albums. This shortest track on this record is better than a lot of modern day rock albums. It's incredible. Track number 10, second to last, The Man of Sorrows. The beginning sounds as it should for a song by this name. It's bluesy and it's sad. The lyrics also play into that. bluesy and sad. The majority of the song is slow. There's even some atmospheric synthesizer happening throughout, but this song is not without a bit of guitar shredding. The finish of the song, once again, is bluesy. And here's something. This entire album is extremely dynamic. That is the only song that where I could really hear the bluesiness or a bluesy sound, but it really puts a highlight or a stamp on the fact that this is one hell of a dynamic record. The finishing track to this record is Empire of the Clouds. It is so long and so epic and so individual that I could not cover the variance of sounds that happen in this entire track in the time that I usually take to do these reviews. This song is very, very dynamic. It's a song about a British rigid airship similar to the Hindenburg that crashed and killed, I think, 48 people in the year 1930. Bruce Dickinson plays a piano for a large portion of this song, and this song is a masterpiece. A lot of people have been saying it already on social media. I think it was Steve Harris said that this song is a masterpiece, and I agree. This song is a masterpiece. Again, comparing this track to other metal or rock bands, there is more storytelling, instrumental makeup, and pure musical talent that went into this one song than most other bands put into entire albums. The track is 18 plus minutes. So, like I said, I can't sit here and tell you everything that happens in this track, but it is something that you need, yes, need to check out for yourself, which brings me right to a place where I need to put a bow on this review, put a grade on it, rank it among the other albums in Iron Maiden's discography, and tell you if I think you should buy it. Starting off, I'm giving this album an A+. Honor roll, Dean's list, and a 97 out of 100. As far as the rest of Iron Maiden's albums go and their discography, I don't feel like I have enough knowledge of the band to rank it among the rest of their albums, but if more than two of their albums are better than this one, I would be absolutely flabbergasted. I think that The Number of the Beast and Fear of the Dark gotta be two of Iron Maiden's best albums, so this one's gotta be right up there. It is fantastic. Go buy this album. If you don't believe me, check out all the other reviews. This thing is receiving so much hype. I almost didn't believe it myself. You know, a lot of times rock bands get older, they repeat that same sound, but without as much oomph, you know, or power or emotion that they used to put in. They, you know, it kind of feels like they're just working for a paycheck, other bands. Not the case with Iron Maiden on this one. Like I said, you could tell that they had a lot of fun making this album. I watched a few interviews with Bruce Dickinson, and the dude is just delighted to be doing this. He's been fighting cancer lately, and his mood is just inspiring, and it shows that they had a lot of fun in this album. It's absolutely a pleasure, a delight to listen to, and I think that you should listen to it as well. Go buy the darn thing, and let me know in the comments section down below if you agree with any of my takes on the album, if you agree that this album is fantastic. Even if you don't, please tell me about it in the comments section below. Or you can follow me on Twitter at Flying Brian Show. I would be glad to interact with you about rock music, metal music, my reviews, video games, mixed martial arts, all kinds of things. That does it for this review. Next, I'll be reviewing That's the Spirit by Bring Me the Horizon, possibly a couple of others. And I'm really looking forward to Threat to Survival by Shinedown. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, if you like what you heard from this review, please hit that subscribe button that's just down below, and also throw me a comment. Thank you so much for listening. Namaste.